You're listening to the Business Artist Podcast. My name is Jan Melhoz. Today our guest is Marcos Corral. Marcos is a US Navy veteran, a musician, a cannabis advocate, a firearm instructor, and most importantly, a podcaster. I really do enjoy his podcast, Free Thinkers Aloud, because it embraces open thinking. He invites people who express their opinion on different things like science, like religion, like meditation, spirituality, and he embraces most importantly that the people are very open, that they express their thoughts freely, and I think that's very refreshing, and that's exactly the direction what we need in today's crazy information loaded media, that people can express their information. So let's introduce Marcos to the show. Marcos, hello, how are you?
Hello, Jan, thank you for having me on.
Great that you are here. So you started your podcast you want to invite people to express their ideas freely. Do you think there's scarcity right now in honest opinions in people who express what they think?
You know, right now, everything is so polarized right now, especially in the United States, where everyone really wants to hold on to not even necessarily facts, but their opinions, you know, and they're really not willing to compromise one single thought to be able to see things from someone else's perspective. And it kind of creates this gridlock of communication to where my way is the right way, you have no validity in what you're saying. And it's like a level one stage of communication that doesn't elevate to a higher perspective of evolution within communication. So it's really difficult for people to communicate if you're very close-minded about what you believe. You know, you can. I have a podcast coming up that is questioning your beliefs without compromising your beliefs. How to be open to new ideas without feeling like you're compromising what you believe, you know? So I believe in connecting people. And then the only way that you're going to really connect people is to understand their stories.
Yes. So I follow US politics quite a lot. And obviously it's very easy to see what you just said, that it's all about you are wrong, I'm right. But I'm based in Spain, so I'm not that often in the US. So is your perception that even that spilled over to the whole population, that it's in companies, around people meeting each other, is that the same way already now?
Yeah, I mean, it's so dangerous when you're having that type of mentality when it comes to running a business. Because if someone that you don't agree with, whether it be political or religious, that person might actually have the next great idea for your company. Yeah. And because you're so stuck in your ways of fundamentalism or whatever it is, you know, the male ego, and we don't want to listen to that person because they're dressed this way or whatever. And the person that you hate sometimes might be the actual key that your business needs to have another leap forward in innovation and marketing or whatever it is. So that's why I believe it's so important to be open-minded. You don't have to agree with everybody, and that's okay. And I think that's what people don't understand is, I don't agree with you, that means I have to hate you. And it's like, that's completely opposite to what the balance of the universe or God or whatever you believe is supposed to be, you know?
Yes, and I totally agree with you, what you said about connection. I think you have to openly say what you feel, what you think, in order to connect with other people in a meaningful way. And although I think probably most people do have this feeling and have this insight, many say absolutely not what they think, and they just try to say what the other people wants to hear. So how do you think you can, if you have the wish or the, let's say the intention inside, but you still, you know, to talk only politically correct or in a way to make the other person wrong, how can you shift to really say what you think?
I think step number one is knowing who you are. Because when you don't know who you are, the foundations of your emotions, of your ideology, is really shaky. So when you understand who you are, you can stand firm in what you believe and have others believe what they believe. You can have discussions, really civil discussions, be completely open-minded and learn from each other. And, you know, it's even when it comes to politics, when it comes to business, when it comes to everything, if you understand who you believe and what your purpose is, you can actually align with people that share your purpose. You can talk to people that don't align and share your purpose, but you understand them in a certain way to where it's actually beneficial to you. Because let's say, for instance, in business, you want to reach out to a new market, and there's this whole group of people that you don't understand, whether they be millennials or Gen Zers or whatever, and you want to reach out to them. If all you do is criticize them because all they do is play video games, or all they're on Snapchat or whatever it is, you know, you're kind of dividing yourself in a business mindset to block yourself from reaching that additional market. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And what does it really mean to know who you are? What does it mean?
That's the question of the ages, right? And that's what everybody is really looking for. I think that you're not going to be able to help anybody else to the capacity of a very wide influence unless you really know who you are. Mm-hmm. This is my advice to people. If you find yourself lying to people about who you are, you don't know who you are, because you feel like you have to lie about this person that you want people to perceive you as, because you're not comfortable being yourself. Mm-hmm. You think that people are going to reject you. You think that people are not going to accept the person that God created you to be, you know? So I feel like if you want to begin to impact the world, to be more real with yourself, you have to first understand what you like. Whatever you like, that's probably who you are. If you're one of those people that are like, man, I don't even know what I like, mm-hmm. you know, I would suggest that you start going out and trying out new things. Try, you know, skydiving or something. That's a huge one. Try surfing if you live, you know, by an ocean. Try going out in the woods, camping. You have to try different things. Even if you're like, oh, I'm not really interested in that, go try it, because you never know. You know, I never knew that I used to like motorcycle camping until I tried it. You know, I'm like, I'd rather take my truck. I have more gear. But motorcycle camping, man, you can get into places where vehicles can't. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's really amazing. I didn't know that I liked it until I actually tried it. So you got to try stuff. You got to try stuff, and you're going to find out. Like with this whole podcasting thing, I've always known that I've wanted to do this, but it wasn't until, you know, you dive in head first that you start to come out with creative solutions and like, man, how can I reach this? How can I reach this type of person? And it carries on to the business side of it, because you're dealing with social media, you're dealing with marketing yourself. I want people to be on my podcast. I want other people to be on my podcast. Wow, how can I interpret that into the business world? Well, I can use kind of the same fundamentals and be like, hey, let's check this business out over here, do some collaborations, do some joint ventures. And it just spreads. It spreads a whole spread of positivity, but you're never going to get there unless you start to really be real with yourself.
Mm-hmm. And you said, if you're lying, you don't know who you are. So you have to speak your truth. Obviously, if you're lying, there is something which there's resistance in yourself to speak your truth. So when you feel this resistance to speak your truth, but you want to speak your truth, how do you overcome this resistance?
You're just going to have to accept that not everybody is going to like you, yeah. You know, and you have to be okay with that. Not everybody's going to like you. You're not going to be everybody's cup of tea, you know, how we say. So, you know, if you're facing the resistance of backlash, or you're coming out with something, it's just the reality of life, mm-hmm. you know. And if you're a little sensitive, you know, you kind of have to get over that. If you're a man and you're that kind of sensitive, my suggestion would be lift some weights, because I don't know what it is about lifting weights. It just kind of builds up your testosterone a little bit. And then, you know, you'll notice that like in 2 or 3 months, the stuff that used to bother you, that people used to tell you, and, oh man, this really bums me out because I care about this person and they're talking to me about this. You become less offended when you actually begin to find yourself. Because, you know, let's say this is the the story that I tell my wife. Say, look, if you are Pablo Picasso and you have a child, right, and your child comes home with kindergarten art, you're going to look at that art like, oh my God, that's amazing. You're Pablo Picasso. You know, you're world renowned and your paintings are amazing. But you look at that and you're like, you know what? That is the beginning to something great that child is going to be. And Pablo Picasso is not going to be intimidated by somebody telling him that their kid's artwork sucks. And it's just like, 'cause he understands the process. He's like, no, that's beautiful. You mm-hmm. have to start somewhere, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, being offended is it's tough not to be offended sometimes, especially with something as creative as your own artwork, you know, whether that's music or paintings or whatever it is, because it's your heart and it's like somebody's just jamming you in your heart, you know?
Yes, absolutely. But it was a beautiful example with Pablo Picasso. Let's go a little bit into your story. How did you get to this point that you have these insights about speaking your truth, about knowing who you are, being real? Was it your Navy career which brought you there, or how did you get there?
My Navy career gave me a lot of stability as far as discipline. Mm-hmm. But where I really kind of came out of myself, and I don't necessarily recommend this for everybody, but mm-hmm. for me, it was cannabis. You know, I'm in California. It's legal mm-hmm. here.
Yes.
So back in, I believe was about 2014, I was having a lot of back pain. And so I got myself a medical card and I started using it. And I started realizing that it wasn't just for pain, that when I took it, I actually became really introspective. And I began to look at different parts of my life that happened in the past. And I started to realize the depth of the significance of my actions in those times, whether that's, you know, being with a girl who I was just using because of sex, you know, because it was just good at the time. I started to realize all of these things. And I was just like, you know what, man, I am not, that's not integrity. And my life has always been about honor and integrity, you know, speaking your mind, but also have integrity. And when I began down this journey, it started to really open up my mind about how my attitude and my ego was affecting people, even my wife. You know, when we were first dating, I was just like kind of just playing, just kind of trying to be the player, you know, okay, let's hang out. Oh, no, I want to go hang out with somebody else, or I want to go do my own thing. And it really hurt her, you know, because to men, we're, you know, we're just focused on the sexual aspect of it. And oftentimes we don't take into consideration the people that we're actually affecting with that, because all we want is just sex, right, at that time. So we don't consider the feelings and the emotions that a woman is having, because women are very emotional. When they connect with you, like, they're really connecting with you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I begin to see those things in my life. I begin to see how just being lazy sometimes, just staying at home, drinking whiskey, playing video games, which is not a bad thing if you do it in moderation, but I was doing it too much. Mm-hmm. And I just, a lot of it started building insecurities in me because I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what my purpose was in life. And cannabis actually brought me out of that. I started listening to Joe Rogan more. Mm-hmm. I started listening to Brian Rose, and I'm just like, I would have never even considered listening to any of these people, because I was just like so military minded, you know, everything's like, okay, firearms instructor, everything's about discipline, this and that. And if you're not like that, you know, you have very little value in life, which is kind of strange, because I've been a musician since I was about maybe 15 or 16 years old, guitarist mostly. And I think why I didn't really tap into that creativity side of me, because I was mostly into like heavy metal, which does require skill. But for me, like stuff that was just like really thrashy didn't require all that much skill, because you can hide all your mistakes with distortion and delay and all of that stuff, right? And I had very little fundamentals at the time until I actually got out of the Navy and started taking guitar lessons. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know that I could be such a good blues guitarist, because I never tried it. It was always just thrash metal to me, you know? until I really started expand, even with music, I started expanding my horizon when it came to music. And I started hanging out with my wife. She introduced me to Daft Punk. And I was just like, I don't know why, but this music is just good. It just makes you feel good. I started listening to Pharrell Williams and, you know, Chris Stapleton, which is right now is my favorite artist, Chris Stapleton. But yeah, so that's what really did it for me. I don't necessarily need it. I don't need cannabis because it kind of set me on the path to where it's like, hey, this is where you need to go right here. Walk down this way. And I kind of just took over from that. So I don't necessarily need it anymore, but it's good to have once in a while, especially here because it's legal.
Yes. I mean, you guys in California, you have amazing stores. They look like Apple stores. I can't remember how they're called. I was there last year. It's amazing. And you get whatever you want, whatever taste you want, whatever you can took it as a spray. You can just get the joints already rolled. You can take chocolate. It's fantastic. That's how it should be, I think.
But, yeah, absolutely.
But it was really interesting what you said about getting introspective, because I know that as well from smoking cannabis that I went really introspective. But for me, it was a little bit, I couldn't even take it. You know, it was so much hard revelation about myself. I mean, I was younger, but it was really hard to take. Could you just take it calmly and digest it? Or?
No, in the beginning, I had a really hard time with it. Because it was just like fighting my ego. There was this, it was like two different me's. There was like the sober me who was kind of an asshole, who was just like my way or the highway. And then there's this other side of me that's like, no. Let's take a step back and look at it this way. Look what you're doing. You see your girlfriend, she's crying. Why do you think she's crying? Because you're being a dick right now. You know, and the ego is like, oh, she's just emotional, she's just this, she's just that. And you know, you take a step back, even with my kids, man. With my kids, I was like, oh my god, they scream so much. I'm like, ah. And then when like I'll just take some and I'll be like, oh my god. I'll just look at them and like, where were you like 6 months ago? You weren't even here, you know? And I would just hug them and I'd be like, oh my God, I love you so much, you know? So, you know, it wasn't easy for me at first. I really had to work at it. And for like the first, maybe when I first started doing it, I was hanging out with friends. They had reintroduced it into my life. Cause I used to smoke when I was like in high school or whatever, but it wasn't like the way it is right now. So I was kind of hanging out with them. We'd play poker and, you know, like, oh man, this is cool. The music was awesome. You know, it's like, I've never heard music like this before in my life. And it was stuff that I've heard hundreds of times. You know, it's just like, you get this new perspective on it.
Yes, you listen different to music, definitely. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And so once I started, I almost felt like with my wife, once we made the decision to like really start dating, like I ended up getting her pregnant and I was like, oh my God. I was like, what am I going to do? I thought I was going to be stuck with the woman, same woman for the rest of my life. And I was just like, I didn't want to face it. And then, you know, that was really tough for me because I was just like, I didn't want to feel like I was being stuck. And I had this amazing, beautiful woman who was about to have my child and my ego completely held me captive that held my mind captive to thinking that I was going to be stuck in a relationship for the rest of my life that I didn't want to be in. And I had somebody that completely loved me and I was blinded by my ego, and cannabis allowed me to see that. And it took a long time because it's not easy fighting your ego. It's really not, but I just kept going after it. And eventually I just realized how much love was around me, my wife, my kid. And now I have two kids. But it took a while. So, you know, you say that it wasn't easy at first. To some people, maybe it is because they know who they were. They don't have an ego. For me, it was pretty difficult.
Yeah, for me too. But I think it's a journey you do with cannabis. You start when you're very young, you just have to laugh. When you smoke it, then you get like really introspective. And then after time, you can use it in a way that helps you grow, I think, and heal.
Yeah.
I understand your point, and I think I like that you're a cannabis advocate, because I agree with you on that one. And I would like to go more into your musical activities, because your artistic side is very interesting for this podcast. I know that you are very ambitious because you would like to create a completely new music style, which nobody has done before. How can we imagine this?
Well, I took this advice. I was watching a documentary or something, and somebody said that they walked into the room and they saw Michael Jackson looking at a video of Charlie Chaplin. Mm-hmm. And they were like, why are you looking at that? And his response was, he said, never, ever stop studying the greats. And I was just like, wow, okay. So, you know, going back into my expansion of music and listening to different things, I took a really interest into funk, because mm-hmm. funk kind of changed the timing of how everything used to be. Everything was on 2 and 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? And that's how a lot of music was. And funk was like, no. So we're going to start on the 1. So 1, you know, so it was the timing kind of shifted, and I'm like, okay. And it gave way to this, to basically a new genre, right? A new style of music. It felt really good. You could have fast funk, you could have slow funk. And I like to study the origins of something. How did that thing come about? What was going through people's minds? So when I study these things and different types of music, and even Chris Stapleton, they say he's country, but to me, he's more like country blues. And I want to study how stuff came about. I was watching a documentary on Daft Punk, and like, how did they really develop their sound? Because their sound is amazing. And a lot of times it's very simple, you know, mm-hmm. but you're like, you just hear it and it's like, man, this is so good. So I would like to have a different culmination of music styles and create something that's simple but new that people don't, you know, haven't really heard before. And, you know, whether that's me creating the music or whether that's me giving the idea to somebody that's possibly more talented than me and tell them to run with it. Either way, I'm good with it. You know, I don't have to be the superstar shining. I would just want to hear that type of music.
Yes. I would like to hear it too, because I mean, I don't know, there's so much new music out and I don't get everything, and there's good music around it, but my daughter is 10, so she listens to the radio often, and I hear this typical chart music. Well, I have to say, nothing really changed since I was young. Now they're recycling all the 90s, 80s hits, and that's what I'm listening to, because my daughter has it pumped up the whole time. Yeah, I would really appreciate a new development of music. I'm not seeing it. It might be that it's somewhere in the niche and nobody's recognizing it, but maybe somebody has to start doing it.
Yeah, man, it's tough, you know, because some stuff that is kind of new sounding, like mm-hmm. the new mumble rap. You know, I grew up in the 90s. I grew up with Tupac. I grew up with EPMD and Rakim. Mm-hmm. And then Biggie and the lyricists, you know, yes. KRS-One, where you just hear it and you're just like, oh man, Wu-Tang, you know. I grew up on the West Coast in California, but I was more attracted to the East Coast style music. Like everyone over here was listening to Ice Cube and Snoop Dogg, and I liked that stuff too. But what I would listen to every day was Wu-Tang, you know, because mm-hmm. I love the verbiage they were talking about and words that you really don't hear in everyday language. So I was like, I was just more into that. So, you know, all this new stuff, it sounds good because of the beat and, you know, the melody of the vocals and everything, but for me it's just about lyricism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lyricism is right now I often listen to hip-hop where they just repeat the same sentence 5 times in a row and just make loops of the same sentence. Unbelievable, but it works.
Yeah,
there's some groove to it as well. There's some,
sure,
yeah. But yeah, the lyricists, but they will come back. Everything is in cycles, so I'm sure we see a lyrical, I don't know how you say, a new lyrical area as well in hip-hop, and I'm looking forward to that.
There's two guys that I listen to right now, two American rappers. One, his name is Hobson. He's mm-hmm. an independent artist. And the other one, he's starting to blow up really big. He just did a song with Eminem, actually, and his name is Joyner Lucas. Mm-hmm. There's a song that he has that if you watch, you got to watch the video. It's called Ras Capiciani or something like that. And he tells this story of this kid getting shot. And the first half of the video is from the point of first point of view from the kid, and he starts talking, and the second point of view is from the guy that shoots him. Mm-hmm. And you learn both of the stories at the same time and what led up to this moment. It's an absolute masterpiece. I mean, he played it for Busta Rhymes, and Busta Rhymes is just like, he was just clapping, slow clap. He's like, oh my God. He's like, you don't see stuff like this. He put so much talent and hard work into that song along with the video. It's, to me, it's a masterpiece.
Wow. Okay. Can you repeat the title of the song?
It's called something along the lines of like Ross Capiccioni. I don't know how to spell that. Joyner Lucas is the artist.
Great. Thank you. Good. Let's go more into the Freethinkers podcast. What kind of guests are you inviting?
You know, right now I'm inviting people that that are kind of out on the outskirts of the way of thinking. You know, yesterday I was actually on location with a guy who is he turned his house, backyard, and garage into a grow op where he grows the most amazing microgreens. Like I'm telling you, I tasted it and I was like, I didn't even know that lettuce had a smell, because in America our food is just, it's so widely distributed and processed. You don't get really good food here. And, you know, that's why everyone's just overweight, because it's so easy to go to McDonald's and get a cheeseburger every day when it's 50 cents, you know, instead of going paying $7 for a nice healthy salad. So I smelled it. I was like, oh my God, I smelled sunflower sprouts and radish sprouts. And I tasted them. He gave me like different types of stuff. And I was just like, how come I don't get this type of flavor from, you know, store-grown stuff? Or store-bought stuff. And he was just telling me about, you know, I'm on solar here. If you eat straight from the source, this is why you're healthier. The food tastes better. He has chefs that come to his house to buy stuff. And so he's doing something in an unconventional way, you know, and he's a black guy, which, you know, in Southern California, you don't really see that a lot, you know? So I think it's really cool that he's doing it. He's breaking new ground. I have people like a artist who was a friend of mine, is my second episode. And he talks about like his walk in spirituality and how that affects his music and stuff like that. So,
which path in spirituality did he go?
He's a Christianity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he talks about that. And, yeah, man. And I think that even his view is slightly unconventional, you know, so I love it. I welcome everybody who wants to think a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. I'm just interested. Why, how does he have a different view on Christianity or than the mainstream view? Or why is it controversial, his view on Christianity?
Yeah, it's because a lot of fundamentalists, they are, you know, you can't drink, you can't dance, you can't, there's like so many rules, right? And some of the meetings that he plays at is they're serving wine and bread for communion, like real wine. Mm-hmm. Everyone's dancing. It's, you just go in there and it's like a party and it's like, this is church, you know? And I've been to those meetings and they're absolutely fun. It doesn't feel like church, you know? And then somebody steps up and they give the sermon. It's not an official sermon. You know, you got kids screaming in the background, people laid out on the floor, and everyone's just having a great time. And I'm just like, wow, this is different. And of course, the mainstream church is like, no, that's not church. That's not God. It has to be orderly. And, you know, we have to do everything like this specifically. And it's just like, nah, man, these people are just enjoying themselves, you know? So it's great.
Absolutely great. That's how it should be, I think. Everybody having a great time. That sounds to me like a great spiritual way. Good. Another thing which I found interesting about you, you said that you discovered once that we are all still children. Nobody is an adult.
Yeah,
how did you discover that? And what do you mean by this?
Cannabis. So I was just at the park one day and I was just, I had the oils, so you can take it. It doesn't smell. Mm-hmm. It's just like a little vial and you can take it anywhere you go. So yeah, I was just walking and I got to the park and I was just sitting down. I was watching the kids play, watching the some of the older kids play with the smaller kids. I was watching adults play with the kids and I'm just like, there's no difference here. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely no difference between, that's just a small person that's a little bit older. They're a little bit older. They're old enough to have kids. We're all the exact same. So it's like, so what's the difference? Why do we separate from our wonderment of life? You know, because kids have such wonderment, like, wow, they look at something for the first time. And as adults, we kind of grow numb to stuff, even stuff that's really amazing. You know, like, oh yeah, we've seen that before or whatever. And we lose our wonderment for things. And that's just, I think, societal in some ways. And sometimes it's okay because, you know, you get used to stuff and you kind of get over it. That's okay too. But, you know, the wonderment of life and exploring and learning new things, I think we lose that as we get older. But if you really, I've had the amazing privilege of meeting guys who are like in their 60s and close to 70s too. They're just so childlike. And those type of people are so amazing to be around. Like I'm like 30 years younger than you. And I feel like you're outdoing me, you know, you're laughing all the time. And it's like, you look like a kid. You're responsible. You have a business, you have a job, you know, you have a home to pay for and all this stuff. And it's just like, you have so much fun. And the subtle nuances that I noticed was that they're just like kids. They didn't lose that childlike wonderment and they still look young. I was actually surprised, like, you're 70 years old. You look like you're maybe 50, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that was one of the greatest things. And I'm just like, man, everybody is just like a kid, because you don't want to hurt a kid unless you're a psychopath. And if you look at everybody as just kids, it kind of gives you like this new appreciation for people. It's like, you see that guy over there, he's angry, but you know what? He's just a kid. He's just angry. Let's go find out why he's angry. You know, and you give the person value, the value of a child, that because a child needs to be nourished. Everybody still needs to be nourished. We just forget that as adults, you know? So for me, it completely changed the outlook of how I saw people, how I treat people. Even if people's being, their attitude is negative towards me, I have to keep telling myself, it's like, they're just going through something. They're just a kid who forgot that they were a kid.
Mm-hmm. Did you forget that as well at one point, that you were a kid? Or?
Yeah, I think we all do. You know, I think we all do, because there's bills and there's the stress of life and projects have deadlines and, you know, different things. We start to allow the stresses of life to take our joy and our wonderment away. Mm-hmm. And so I think we all deal with it, you know, and yeah, I mean, everyone deals with it.
Do you think you managed to come back to the flow of a kid that you just can behave like a child?
I do. And a lot of times when I begin to forget, I just go play with my kids, because I'm like, I just need to enjoy you. And whatever they're doing, I let them lead the play. Like, hey, what do you want to do? Let's go play with this. Let's go play with that. All right, cool. Let's go. Dad, I just want you to chase me around. Okay, let's go chase you around. You know, because that's what they want to do. Like, you're the kid. I'm the responsible one. So when something needs to be done that's responsible, I'll lead. But when something that's fun, you lead. I'll follow you.
Nice. I like that a lot. Good. When people want to find out more about you, are you offering coaching? Are you offering personal development? Are you helping people to speak their truth, to go through the processes that you went through? Are you having any options for people to contact you for this?
Yeah, sure. If I'll start a campaign for an email, but for now, if you guys have questions about your faith, your spirituality, you're feeling bummed out, I want to do some Q&A podcast to where people can just hit me up directly on my Instagram and just ask me questions, and I'll bring them to the light. You know, if you feel like you're having you know, spiritual or religious questions and you're starting to question what you believe, I can give you tips on how to approach that subject without feeling like you're being ostracized from your ideals or feel like you're compromising what you believe because you're questioning something. I personally came out of Christianity, so that's what I know mostly about. Mm-hmm. But I'm willing to go anywhere and talk to anybody about these type of things. So if you hit me up on DM me on Instagram, which is a Free Thinkers Aloud podcast, I'll gladly respond to you. Or Once I have like, you know, 10 or 15 questions, I'll just go ahead and make a podcast and answer everybody's questions.
Perfect. I wanted to go into one subject. Let me just think about it. Yes. So you are very ambitious. You want to create a new music style, which I think not many people on this planet have done yet. You're pushing your own podcast, releasing a lot of episodes. How do you, where do you get the energy from, or how do you get the discipline for it? Do you have any habits? Do you do any routines, or is it just your army discipline? How do you manage to do this, apart from being a father as well?
You know, I think that part of training in the military, where it's just, you just have to do it. You know, when you're in boot camp, you know, there's only two ways. You either complete it or you fail. And mm-hmm. if you fail, you know, you get, you're out, you quit and you get kicked out. So that wasn't me. That wasn't in my attitude. So I just kept going as hard as it got. And that's carried on to different parts of my life. You know, I was stationed on a ship in Washington. Mm-hmm. In the US, and sometimes that ship went out for weeks at a time without seeing any land, you know, and you have to kind of build a strong mentality for that type of thing. Because not only that, it also, being inside of this big ass piece of metal that's magnetic affects your sociology, you know. So well, you kind of yeah, people don't really think about
how
that.
What kind of effect do you feel?
Well, I mean, everything inside of a Navy ship is gray. Like mm-hmm. there's no color, mm-hmm. right? And then you have these coils that are wrapped around the ship that are for a system called degaussing. And basically what that does, it allows you to put a specific electromagnetic charge on these coils, different coils around the ship, to make yourself magnetically invisible so as to not disrupt the magnetic flux of the planet. So if someone else is looking at you on a radar, you kind of diminish your signature. So you have all of these electromagnetic functions affecting your brain, and our bodies are just an electrical and chemical factory, right? Yes. So that affects you in that way too. Man, if you know somebody in the military, give them a shout out, because it's rough. It's really rough. Even if you're just a cook, you're still inside that ship, you know, and you're doing the same thing over and over and over. So it's very stressful. Anybody in the military, it doesn't matter what country you're from, it's going to be a stressful job. But yeah, so I think that's where I get my discipline from. Mm-hmm. Also just from, man, Wim Hof. I do a lot of Wim Hof breathing when, right. every time I feel tired, right. if I feel like stressed out or something, I just start to breathe. You know, I'll do like three sessions where it's like the 30 breaths and then hold your breath. And then I'll just do like three reps of those. Mm-hmm. And like, man, I don't understand why, but you just immediately feel better. Totally. And then the cold showers too. The cold showers are amazing.
Yeah, I do the same too. Cold showers, I love them. And I think you also do a lot of stretching.
Yeah, so there's a stigma behind cannabis. You know, oh, you're smoking weed, you're just a stoner, you know, and they equate it to you just being lazy. And I've said before, I've actually never had that experience. I've never once felt lazy. I felt like very relaxed. Like I just want to watch something or do something with my wife. But a lot of times I just want to stretch, and I'll go stretch for 2 hours on the carpet. And then slowly after that, you start feeling so good that I start to lift weights, mm-hmm. you know? So I'll be like 3 hours, you know, when I have the time, because right now it's pretty scarce. But yeah, it's stretching, man, even without cannabis, you know, it's really, really good. It allows your body to stay very mobile, you know. For me personally, if I don't stretch for like 2 or 3 days, I get so stiff. So stretching is definitely a part of my repertoire every single day.
Do you follow any special method?
I just listen to my body. Yeah. Oh. You know, I just listen to my body. Whatever hurts, that's what I'm going to stretch out. So let's say if I'm having like a lot of tightness in my right calf, I'll go after it. And then just to balance it out, I'll do the left calf. So, you know, whatever hurts, that's, my body talks to me. So it's like, okay, this hurts right there, I need to work on that. So that's basically how I go about it.
Do you know David Goggins?
Oh, yes.
Yes. He's big into stretching as well.
Yeah, he does a lot of stretching too, every single day.
Yeah, and it's helped him a lot for his, like, he did like this mad 100 miles runs or something without training, just to prove his will. And I think he had a lot of injuries or like long-term pains, but stretching helped him to recover from it. And now he's doing it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I follow him on Instagram. And, you know, anytime you need some motivation, just go follow his Instagram page. He's going to tell you, just run, motherfucker.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. Good. Marcus, I think we covered your podcast good. I think it's a very important podcast. It's a very interesting podcast. You have great guests. And I'm really grateful that you've been in my show. It was very inspiring. And I can just say, listen to it. Listen to the Free Thinkers Aloud podcast. You will really enjoy it. Thank you, Marcus, for being here.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
So if you liked the episode and you want to maybe book a 15-minute coaching call with me, you can just go on my website, janmehlhaus.com, janmehlhaus.com, and just put in your email, your name, and then you can book a 15-minute coaching call with me. I will listen to your case and I will give you my advice for it. Thanks to Marcus again. Thanks for listening to the Business Artist Podcast. Business Artist Podcast. Bye-bye. See you.
Peace out, everybody.